Welcome, Trailblazers Courtside, February 5th, 2013. Adam Bjarnson, Michael Holton in the catbird seats once again. This is, of course, a studio we know all too well. It's our home away from home, Michael.
Yes, I like living here.
It's where you earn your keep. But we've got a lively, fun show ahead. First, so many outlets for you to take part in tonight's show. First, of course, there's the TV side of things right here on Comcast Sportsnet. There's also Trailblazers Radio Network and then the World Wide Web on trailblazers.com, streaming live there. Let's talk about the Trailblazers Courtside Tip-Off. As always, it is presented by Standard TV and Appliance tonight. A couple of great guests that we've got for you. We're going to start things off with Blazers assistant coach Kim Hughes. He's basking in mid-70 degree temperatures in Dallas now.
That's nice. A lot different than Minnesota.
Quite a change from the 10 degrees in Minneapolis yesterday. So he's going to join us at 6:15. We're going to talk to Kim about last night's cliffhanger in Minneapolis and how he's trying to get some of the Blazer bigs more involved. Then coming up at 6:35, we'll have CSN's Blazers insider Chris Haynes on. Going to get his perspective on the vibe of the team and the overall health as well. Some guys a little dinged up. So if you are on Twitter, we encourage you to reach out using the hashtag TBCourtside. TBCourtside, if you've got a question of myself or of Michael tonight, or of any of our guests for that matter, and reach out. It's the quickest way and easiest way to get in touch with them. And if your question hits the spot with us, we're going to make sure we get it on the air. You did something that I didn't think a lot of people did in the months of January and February. You went out and went golfing on Sunday, on Super Bowl Sunday, no less.
In between church and the Super Bowl was a nice little window, and I got in, I think, 14 holes. It was big time.
How was the score?
I played by myself. I played great.
Winter rules. How many times do we hear that? I shot an 80 today.
Oh, I was unbelievably really good.
That's great stuff. Real quick, Michael. The Blazers last night kind of pulled the rabbit out of the hat, and they find a way to overcome 28 turnovers. You want to address that after the break?
Yeah, it's difficult to do.
It's time for us. All right, Trailblazers Courtside continues. Back with more right after this.
Down the middle, takes a bump from Millsap and spins it in. He's got to get it in. Aldridge for the win.
Yes! He's done it again. He beat Dallas at the buzzer.
They went through the middle, fades away, short. Aldridge grabs the rebound.
Oh, Adam Bjarnson, Michael Holton with you, Trailblazers Courtside, for the first time in the month of February in this great year of 2013. 2013 off to a good start for the Trailblazers. The month of February as well. A couple of wins. Got a win last night. We just talked about it as we went off to break, about them overcoming 28 turnovers last night, but shooting a season high 58%.
Those numbers kind of don't go hand in hand. Usually when you shoot a high percentage, you take good care of the basketball. But, I mean, Minnesota came out and just – they spent a lot of energy. I mean, from the first possession, Ricky Rubio jumped all over Damian Lillard full court. I was like, whoa, he can't possibly be planning to do that the whole game. And he did. I was shocked.
And, something that – and I want to ask you about this. The late game situations as far as free throw shooting, it becomes – it's an art to hit pressure-packed shots in any game, whether it's a free throw or not. Last night, LaMarcus misses the two free throws, yet comes back down and plays just some incredible defense on Ricky Rubio and then on Dante Cunningham to really save the game for the Trailblazers last night. But free throws in particular, and it's not just the Blazers. The Blazers aren't the only team that's immune from this. So often we see players missing in crunch time.
In a lot of ways, it's one of the tougher parts of the game is nothing's moving. You're standing there. You're all alone. And there is a certain amount of pressure in crunch time to knock them down. Having said that, you're professionals. You're supposed to knock those down.
Yes, they're called free throws, I guess, for a reason, right? All right. We have a couple of great guests coming up on the show. Trailblazers Trailblazers assistant coach Kim Hughes joining us for a second time. In fact, he was with us just a couple months ago and very candid, and we love talking to Coach Hughes, who coaches Blazer Bigs. And then we're going to have Chris Haynes, Trailblazers insider from Comcast Sportsnet. He's going to be joining us at 6:35, so just after the bottom of the hour. Last couple of games, Michael, Coach Stotts turned to the bench a little bit more. You had to like what you're seeing from that bench. I know we all like a good underdog story, and to see what, you know, in particular, Nolan Smith has done in the last two games. And in fact, listen to this. In the first 46 games, he scored 52 points total. In the last two games, a combined 20 points. So maybe he's turning the page a little bit.
Yeah, and I think I read somewhere where Coach Stotts had a meeting with him or a conversation. That always helps a lot. When you're on the bench or you're not playing well and you do have a chance to interact with the coach and have your role clarified or the expectations made clearer, or just to feel like you're not, quote unquote, in the doghouse, you're able to come out kind of with a new lease on life, so to speak. And Nolan Smith is doing what his skill set supports, which is attack.
And we'll have to ask Chris Haynes what the latest is on Ronnie Price, because if that's indeed the case, if he misses tomorrow, then again, Nolan becomes Damian Lillard's key backup at the point guard position. How about this stat? Blazers now 17-1 when they lead after three quarters. And on top of that, they've won the last 15 in a row. That says if you win the first three quarters, odds are, Trailblazers, you're going to win the game, right?
Yeah, so you're saying they don't give up leads after three.
Right, right. They almost did. Almost did last night.
Okay.
But buckled down.
Yeah, you got to be careful with those trends, though, because trends don't win games.
Is there a law of averages sometimes?
Well, yeah. I mean,
balance out.
And what we're seeing right now, and really I think it's a little bit surprising that the pressure defense that we're seeing, A, employed against the Blazers, but that the Blazers are also employing against others.
Mm-hmm. Well, bottom line is last night the Trailblazers got to win. As you look at their schedule, the last five games, last night, whew. Riding the wave of emotions late in that contest, the Trailblazers get it done, winning 100-98. In fact, three Blazers scoring north of 21 points last night. Now it's time to look ahead to the Dallas Mavericks. And Dallas is an interesting team because this is a team that is loaded. They've got some talent there. They just have not been able to put it all together. They're finally getting, you know, Dirk back, came back last night. I think he missed a couple of games. The Dallas Mavericks in Dallas, LaMarcus going back, Terry Stotts, the return of him once again. And we remember what happened last year when LaMarcus hit that game winner there.
Yeah, and, you know, and Dallas is going to be looking for a little bit of payback because the Blazers got them here in the Rose Garden. But, you know, Dirk is a unique player. I mean, in terms of his ability to score the ball, his size, his length, his range, his ability to draw fouls.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot to game plan against when you're trying to game plan against Dallas.
Especially, you know, Darren Collison, too. I always look at that matchup when I see Damian Lillard go up against a guy like Darren Collison because he's one of the fastest, you know, end-to-end guys in the entire NBA, and you see what he can do. O.J. Mayo is just a flat-out scorer. They're a tough team, and they're a team that I think if there's any team that's going to make a move aside from the Trailblazers, it'll be Dallas.
Yeah, but I think with Dallas, not that there's a chemistry problem, but there's a chemistry assignment. I mean, trying to figure out what everybody's role is going to be. O.J. Mayo is a scorer. He's a scorer with or without plays. He's a scorer in transition. He's a scorer against a set defense. Darren Collison is a rhythm and momentum player.
All right, time for us to take our second timeout. When we get back, we're going to be joined by Trailblazers assistant coach Kim Hughes. We will do that when Trailblazers Courtside returns, presented as always by Pacific Power, seen live on trailblazers.com, the Trailblazers radio network, and right here on Comcast Sportsnet. Back with more right after this. Gotcha. Trailblazers Courtside presented by Pacific Tower this February 5th, 2013. Adam Bjarnes and Michael Holton with you. Blazer fans, we need your help to make a push for the playoffs. Buy the Playoffs Push Pack, and you can get tickets to three great games, including the Lakers on April 10th. Plus, receive priority over the general public to purchase playoff tickets should the Blazers reach postseason play. If you upgrade with two additional games, we're going to add in a copy of the official team yearbook. It's a great deal. Get your pack today. Call 503-797-9600 or visit trailblazers.com. And speaking of, at what point do teams, as we talk about the postseason. And the Blazers have a realistic chance at this, Michael. Right now, a couple games above 500, just a half game out of the playoff race. Houston in action tonight, by the way. At what point do teams really get serious about making playoff pushes?
I think teams manage their schedule the entire year. I mean, coaches look at it and they map it out, and they have checkpoints. You know, some coaches check it every five games, some every 10, some every month, in terms of stepping back and looking at maybe tweaking some things. So nobody sleep on the playoff race. They're just not talking about it. But trust me, Terry Stotts is keenly aware of where he is, where the team ahead of him is, and the team behind him.
And for this team, for this Trailblazer team in particular that has overachieved, I don't think anyone in their wildest dreams saw what we've seen coming, you know, with the roster assembled the way it is right now. It's one of the feel-good stories, I think, in the NBA. And it's easy for us to sit up here as Trailblazer employees and say that, but it is true. I don't think that a lot of people even across the country thought that this Blazer team would be playing as well as they have played and pulled out many of these late-game victories.
No, I mean, I think Terry Stotts and his staff has done a great job. Damian Lillard has been unbelievably good. J.J. Hickson has been unbelievably good and maybe unexpectedly good. I mean, undersized at his position, you know, averaging a double-double. I mean, when you look at some of those stories, and then you look at Nicola Batum, you know, armed with a new deal, there were question marks, would he live up to it? And now all of a sudden he's becoming, you know, he's moved into a triple-double neighborhood.
Yes, indeed. Almost every other night against Utah. You know, we talked about them being a half game back of the playoff race. Right now, they're battling Houston for that final spot. Houston is right now handling business on their home floor against Golden State at halftime. They've got 77 on the board at halftime. Houston does.
Yeah, I think they're on their way.
Houston's one of those teams that really has surprised me. I mean, I didn't think that they'd be much with the addition of James Harden. I didn't see where – I mean, I knew he would score a lot, but I didn't see where a lot of the other pieces would be so effective. But – Houston has really surprised a lot of teams, and right now they're really surprising the Golden State Warriors on this Tuesday.
I think James Harden has been really just underrated.
He may have been.
From a standpoint of nobody thought when the deal occurred that James Harden would lead the league in scoring for the next X amount of games after the deal and play as well as he played. And the question I always had and still have is the chemistry between James Harden and Jeremy Lin.
Mm-hmm. Well, Blazer fans, we do encourage you, if you are watching us on radio, or if watching us on radio,
that's pretty good.
I was listening and talking at the same time, which is hard to do. You know, if you are involved on Twitter, is my point. We would love to hear from you using the hashtag TBCourtside. Cap, did you say we were ready to go? No, he says. Okay, we're still efforting Blazers assistant coach Kim Hughes. So, in the meantime, if you have questions, get them to us. I'm going to get this to Michael right now as my Twitter board. You've become more active on Twitter in the last couple of days.
But you guys have been kind of, you know.
We've been ribbing you.
Foot on my throat about it. So I want to come into the new millennium. So I committed to tweeting last game. And I think I actually did for two or three times during the game.
You did.
And it wasn't the interruption of focus that I feared it would be. I mean, I'm old school. I thought if my head went down, I started tweeting, I'd miss a play. But I felt comfortable about it.
And that's what Twitter does. It's information gathering. We are in the information gathering.
No, it's information sharing.
Well, sharing and gathering. I'm more to gather information in Twitter.
But if you're tweeting, you're putting information out there.
Yeah, but you're gathering it from other people.
Okay,
it's a vicious cycle.
That's a conversation for another show.
All right. So Cassandra had asked, how many wins will make this road trip a successful one? And is this number realistic at this point?
Is this number? What's this number?
I guess the number right now, you know, that we're at.
One?
Well, on the road trip, maybe. Oh, is that number realistic at this point?
Okay.
Yeah. So how many wins would make it?
Three and three would be good, comfortable, and respectable. Okay. 4-2, I think, is doable, but would be a great trip.
You know, the Blazers have had more success on the road in Miami. Now, Miami has not always been the Miami Heat, the big bad boys of the East.
No,
there was a time where the Blazers dominated down there. In fact, Portland's only lost four times all time in Miami. Was that five times? 18-5 all time in Miami.
So there was a time that Miami was the Clippers of the East?
There was a time. The Clippers of yesteryear, yes. But this is if you look at this schedule, Michael, it could be very favorable. Granted, if Portland takes care of business tomorrow in Dallas, Friday at Houston. That'll be a little bit of a challenge, but the Magic are dinged up, the Heat, and then you go on to face Monty Williams and the New Orleans Hornets. You could potentially come out of this with a 4-2 trip, which would be really, really nice.
Which would be really good, but you got to take them one at a time, and the Trailblazers just took care of business on the first one.
All right. Well, let's take a timeout. We are going to reset. We will hope to get Blazers assistant coach Kim Hughes on the phone, and when we do that, we will be back, because we're going to be talking about some of the Blazer bigs, Myers Leonard, J.J. Hickson in particular, and LaMarcus Aldridge, the two-time All-Star, as the Blazers get ready to, they're getting ready to tangle the Dallas Mavericks tomorrow night. Trailblazer Courtside, presented by Pacific Power, back with more right after this. Ruben Boomshay. There he is. Always getting the shot in. Gotta love it on the TV side of things. All right, pleased to be joined by Trailblazers assistant coach Kim Hughes. He is in Dallas right now. We've tracked him down. Kim, thanks for the time tonight.
Hi, guys. Nice to be with you.
On list of favorite NBA cities to visit, where does Big D rank for you?
It's probably 9 or 10. Weather's always decent, good food, and good hotel.
You do have Miami a week from tonight, you know.
That's number one.
Honesty will get you everywhere. Hey, what a hard-fought win last night in Minnesota. I mean, never a dull moment with this team, especially in the game's final minutes, right?
I thought you were going to say never a doubt. I guess we tied a record turnover. And watching it, witnessing it, I can't comprehend it myself. Our defense was good, borderline terrific first three quarters. Then when you give up that many points in the fourth quarter, turn the ball over seven times, and, you know, we were waiting to lose, it looked like, and we just kind of eked it out at the end. I'm not sure we won it, but I just think it's more of an issue that they missed a couple shots at the end that won on a great challenge by LaMarcus. But we really didn't finish the game very well at all.
Coach, I'm looking at the pressure defense being applied, really, by both teams. Minnesota obviously decided to pressure you guys, and particularly in pick-and-roll situations. But our team, the Trailblazers, are employing pressure in an effort to get up-tempo and expending energy, doubling the post. And that seems a little bit odd to me at this time of the year to be unleashing a different level of pressure. Can you speak a little bit about the thought process behind that?
Well, in terms of other teams, I've wondered, why did they wait so long? I mean, it's no secret that our bench struggles. So because we played our starters so many minutes, why not pressure Damian? Why not pressure our backcourt coming off the bench, because they've struggled with turnovers? I think it should have occurred a long time ago. In terms of ours, our bench doesn't play that many minutes. They should pick up the tempo. They're not going to have long stretches on the court. They should be out there to bring energy, and I think it does help them in terms of their confidence. If they get a couple steals or get easier baskets, I think it enables them to have an easier flow to the game.
Coach, last time we had you on, we talked about the learning curve that Myers Leonard has been kind of going through. I mean, he might be out there thinking too much, it appears at times. I know he's been caught defensively, maybe not rotating, not getting the right guy. What's your message to Myers right now as he continues to adapt to this NBA game?
Well, right now he has the issue that he's still worried about spraining his ankle. And it's a battle with me to tell him, you can't control that. You're either going to sprain it again or you're not. You can't worry about when you plant. There's a twinge, you just play through it. You can't worry about your body when you're playing. And he has to overcome that. The issue with rotations, he actually, along with L.A., are our best defensive bigs in terms of showing. Some of our other bigs are a little bit reticent to be there, and they're slow getting back, but Myers and L.A. really have done a good job with that. Myers has made some mistakes, I think, more on the offensive end, overthinking the situation. My pet peeve is when he catches a lob, he's out of the basket. If it's not a perfect pass, he should gather himself and go back up and dunk it, where he prefers to pass it to the corners, which absolutely drives me crazy. But that's Myers, and he's a work in progress, and I really think he's going to be good. We have to be patient. meaning the fans. I don't want to be patient with him, but he watches tape. He wants to get better, and I think he will, but you're not going to see immediate results. He has to play more, and he didn't play in the second half. In the Dallas game, last time we played them, we're playing them tomorrow, and he didn't play in the second half two nights ago or last night, and I thought he was effective. He put his body against Petkovic, who I think is the strongest player in the NBA right now, as well as anybody. It's a hard cover, and I thought he was okay.
Yeah, and a lot of people have to remember, 20 years old, right? He's only right. 20 years old, so.
Well, I look back when I was 20, I made a lot of bad decisions in my life, so I'm going to give him a little bit of a break.
I'm with you.
I'm with you on the lack of patience, though. Come on, big fella. Coach, I want to ask you a question. We're talking about pressure and handling pressure and applying pressure, particularly as it relates to the bigs. When I watch the Trailblazers play, and I particularly, for some reason, I focus on the screening game because I think it's important to loosen up pressure, whether you're screening the backcourt to free up your point guard or whether you free in the scoring area to improve your execution. And I guess the question I have is, now that there's pick and pop and there's pick and roll and there's slipping picks, is that something coaches design in terms of different players have the opportunity to do those things and certain players don't have the opportunity to do those things? How specific is that coach, and how tightly is that regulated?
Well, ours is very specific. But having said that, some of our players don't listen or don't follow that. Our fives are told they have to roll, and they probably roll 30% of the time. So 70% of the time they're making a mistake, because we want, when L.A. sets a pick, we want him to pop. But we do not want our fives to pop, but invariably they pop. I think maybe they both think that they're shooters, which they're not, or that's just what they do. But it is very specific for us, and we have our players. They know what the tendencies are of our players, and our bigs are told to do what they should do, and if they don't, it puts us all in trouble.
Coach Kim Hughes joining us right now on Trailblazers Courtside. I know something that's got to drive you a little nuts sometimes is the amount of points that teams are piling up in the paint on you. Is this just kind of part of the growth of this team, or, you know, what is the message you're trying to get to the guys? Say, we cannot be this, you know, this boat that keeps taking on water.
I'm a firm believer in defense, and it does drive me crazier, without question. It bothers me. I think our average is somewhere around 46, and that's way too high. Some of it is the dribble penetration allowed by our wing players. We have very good defense applied by our wings on the starting team. On our bench guys, not so much. So we do give up way too much dribble penetration. Our bigs collectively need to do a much better job of challenging every shot inside. If you don't block it, then you should put the guy on his seat end. That's my philosophy, and we don't do that. So I think it's an area, if we want to indeed make a playoffs, that has to be corrected. But we've gotten better. We were, I think, up until the fifth week, we were 30th in field goal percentage and points allowed, and I think we're somewhere on 24th in defensive field goal percentage. So in that area, we are getting better. But, you know, we start an undersized center, which is an issue, and we're not a great shot-blocking team, and our bench allows dribble penetration, bad things are going to happen.
Well, I know this is a critical road trip. You guys got leg one of it last night. We hope to get leg two tomorrow in Dallas. Coach Kim Hughes, thank you so much for the time tonight. Great insight, as always.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. All right, there you have it. Trailblazer assistant coach Kim Hughes saying some great stuff. Up next, though, we are going to catch up with Blazers insider from Comcast Sportsnet. He is none other than Chris Haynes. We will do that when Trailblazers Courtside returns, presented by Pacific Power, here along the Trailblazers Radio Network. Stream live on trailblazers.com and here on Comcast Sportsnet. Back with more after this. It is all about the hair. John LaCrofka always finds a way to just get in my business. But I can tell this to LaCrofka. At least I've got hair, buddy. Yeah. Oh, the tweets are coming fast and furious as Cassandra chimed in and said, yeah, he really does have the best hair on TV. All right. Our next guest, he lives for Fresno State, but he makes a living covering the Fresno – well, no, he does not make a living covering Fresno State. He makes a living covering the Portland Trail Blazers. That description can only fit one man. He is Blazer insider Chris Haynes from Comcast Sportsnet. Chris, how was that for an introduction?
It's pretty fine, except for the fact that it wouldn't be much of a living if I was working for Fresno State.
I missed the whole Fresno State link, but anyway.
You're kidding me.
Chris Haynes, Fresno State? I thought Chris Haynes.
I'm going to have to introduce you to again, apparently, Chris.
Yeah, I thought you played ball here in town. I haven't seen his jumper up close. Then I would know.
He's all about the Bulldogs. Well, let's talk Blazers. What do you make of that outing last night in Minnesota? A little role reversal late. Usually it's the Blazers that are the team that is storming back. This time, obviously, it was Minnesota.
Yeah, it was a weird game because you look at, you know, the turnovers, the season high 28. But what kept them from, a losing fate was the fact that they shot a season high 58% from the field. And so that gave them some breathing room where the Minnesota Timberwolves were able to make their run. And then at the end of the closing minutes, you know, it was just the Blazers came up with a couple of key defensive stops that ultimately helped win the game. Even though LaMarcus Aldridge did miss two crucial free throws right there, he came back and had a great defensive effort on Dante Cunningham, his former teammate, forcing him to pump fake and put the ball on the floor, something he's not accustomed to doing. And Dante missed the shot pretty badly, and they snuck out of Minnesota with a win.
Chris, I'm looking at this Blazer team in this game and these turnovers, and it is uncharacteristic for the Blazers to turn the ball over at such a high clip. I mean, the starters had 18 assists and 23 turnovers, and you generally this time of year are getting better in your rhythm, your chemistry, and your execution. So what made this game stand out? Was it Minnesota's defense was incredibly good, or were the Trailblazers a little lax?
Well, I think what I've been talking to Dame about this the last week or so. Teams are starting to pressure them a lot more, particularly when you look at Dame, how he's been guarded. Teams have been denying him, playing a bigger guy on him, trying to force the ball out of his hands, trying to make other players beat them, trying to let Nicholas Batum, Wesley Matthews get them into the offense. That's something the Blazers don't want to do. And so I think right now it's just a fury of pressure coming the Blazers' way because they're saying, hey, if we can at least get the ball out of Dame's hand or we can make him work full court, then I think we have a better chance of, you know, coming out that game with a victory. So I think from this point on, you know, the Blazers have to be ready to see some extreme pressure coming their way. I probably would have, you know, started just doing something like that early on in the year, but I think it's coming now, and I think it's something that's going to keep coming on as the season progresses.
Let me ask you a question about it, Chris. I mean, you've played basketball, and I've played a day or two myself. I'm looking at the amount of pressure being applied to Damian Lillard, and I'm a little bit surprised that the screening is not freeing him. In other words, if you get pressured in the backcourt, generally there's a big that stays and cleans the clock of a guard, so he starts looking over his shoulder, that you have a little more room. And the Blazers seem to be trusting Damian Lillard to free himself with this increasing amount of pressure. And in ball screen situations, he's now being blitzed or doubled, and he's not in situations as much where he's getting screened for off the ball. So at some point, I think the Trailblazers are going to have to take a collective stance, or he's going to take a beating.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. You know, playing the point guard position, you know, it's always, you know, you take pride in being able to handle any type of pressure. You know, being that it's one-on-one, you know, to handle any type of pressure, get the ball up the court, and get your team into your offense. It's like a pride thing. But sometimes, hey, you need to put that pride to the side and say, hey, coach, you know, send me a big over here. Free me up. You know, get this guy off of me. So I don't think that's necessarily been a big issue for Dame because, you know, he can get the ball up the court, you know, regardless of who's guarding him. But there is something about being able to get the ball up freely, stress-free, and especially when that defender knows that, hey, I got a big back there that might be ready to clean my clock. So I'm going to have to be aware of that. You can't give that defender something else to think about. And so I think that's something that's going to come along. And I don't necessarily think Coach Stotts hasn't been telling his bigs to screen. You know, sometimes you can tell a player to do something if the players get on the court. and then they do something else. So I think that's something definitely that we'll see, you know, as we go on into some of these games, especially on this road trip.
Blazers insider Chris Haynes joining us here on Trailblazers Courtside. Chris, I've got to ask you this. The health of the team right now, Nick Batum only takes 4 shots last night. How is that wrist of his doing? I mean, is it cause for greater concern right now? I know the MRI was taken sometime last week, but how's that wrist of his doing?
It's pretty bad. Like I said, he re-injured it again, you know, defending Andre Kirilenko in transition last night. He's scared, you know. Like I said, the MRI came back negative, but he's concerned that it could be something. He just really wants to know what's the issue here. You know, I think it's a situation where he just keeps re-injuring it. Before last night's game, he said the only time he felt discomfort was in his shooting motion and when he pushed off trying to get open. So I think what's going on now is that, you know, it's hard for him to pass the ball as well. And so it's really been a major hindrance for him as of right now, and it's only getting worse. So it'd be interesting to see how Terry Stotts and the Blazers handle this situation going forward.
Well, interesting. Any update on Ronnie Price? Is there anything new with him?
Well, yeah, I talked to him last night as well. He's just going to give it, you know, he's going to give it to a pregame warm-ups. It's his call if he wants to play or not. He could have went last night, but if he wanted to give it a little bit more time. I do expect him to be active, but, hey, Nolan Smith is playing some pretty good ball over the last couple of games. So even if Ryan Price is active, I still expect Nolan Smith to be the backup as of right now.
All right, trade deadline. It's 2 weeks from Thursday, and Neil Olshey, general manager of the Blazers, basically has said all along that he doesn't want to sacrifice the long-term growth and the long-term vision of this team for a short-term fix. Are you kind of in line with that same thinking? Do you think that this team will stay quiet all the way through February 21st?
I do, unless there's a great situation and a great opportunity where some team, you know, once J.J. Hickson is willing to give up a nice young perimeter guard for J.J. Of course, J.J., you know, he can veto any trade or not, so J.J. have to approve that. But, you know, unless there's a perfect fit for J.J. Hickson where he will give up his bird rights and go over to a team that's promising, you know, a young promising guard and, you know, draft pick, I think that's the only scenario that occur to where the Blazers will make a big move during the trade deadline. Besides that situation happening, you know, if there is something else that's going to be done, I don't really necessarily think there's going to be a big move.
Chris, when you say J.J. for a guard, I mean, that would leave the Blazers dangerously thin up front if they didn't get a big in return. Because as we were talking about this whole screening game, I'm thinking about who is the most physical screener on this roster, in your opinion?
I would have to say Myers. I would have to say Myers Leonard. J.J. is really not known for, you know, his screening ability. You know, you look at, you know, if J.J. did depart, you look at Joel Freeland, he would just have to step up. They got bigs. You know, they don't. There's not a shortage on bigs. So I think they'll be able to do if J.J. did, you know, leave, you know, at the trade deadline. But with that being said, you know, screening is about effort and it's about the willingness to do it. And so you don't have to be great at it. You just have to be willing to do it. And Joel Freeland, he's a tough guy. He can do it. Myers Leonard is a tough physical guy. He can do it. So I really don't think that would be an issue.
Blazers insider Chris Haynes joining us here tonight. Chris, everyone loves when people throw around grades of teams. You know, I know we did this at the midseason point. You threw out a very good grade for the Trailblazers through, what, 48 games now? What grade would you give them to this point? Because, you know, clearly this team is overachieved, right?
There's no doubt about it, they overachieved. No doubt about it at all. I give them an A because I'm just speaking for myself. I had no clue that they would, you know, be this good so fast. And I think even Neil Olshey, he would tell you that they've exceeded the learning curve, you know, up until this point. And so you look at that, you look at where they are right now, they don't have much far to go. Now it's all about, you know, solidifying who's going to be the backup point guard going forward. Now it's about getting a more solid bench. But the team is right there. The core players have improved. They have stepped up. LaMarcus Aldridge has become a leader. That's something that me and him got into, last year about. And I challenged him about being a better leader. He has stepped up and done that this year, man. I have nothing negative to say about that guy. And Damian Lillard, man, we all knew he would be good, but this good, I know I didn't. So there's no doubt about it. I have to give them an A grade what they've done so far because they're in the thick of it. And their five main guys, the starting five, are just producing night in and night out. You couldn't be happier for where the Blazers are at this point of the season.
We agree. We totally agree, yeah. And Damian Lillard, of course, been a resounding bright spot for the Blazers. A week ago, LaMarcus hits that game winner against Dallas. The two sides meet again tomorrow. What sort of adjustments do you think Dallas is going to make in this matchup tomorrow? You know these Dallas Mavericks want to protect their home floor tomorrow. So what does Dallas do different, and what does Portland do to pull out a win tomorrow in Big D?
Well, Portland has to, they have to, get in the rhythm on the road. And that's going to have to come because they are on this, six-game road trip right here. But the one thing about Dallas Mavericks, they're just now about to start their five-game homestand. They lost the last five of their last eight games. So they're going to come into their building and try to establish that this is their house. And one thing about it, the Blazers, they have to bring the pressure and bring the pain from the get-go. They did that in Minnesota, but they have to sustain that. There can't be many lulls. They have to sustain that. And with the Dallas Mavericks, hey, LaMarcus Aldridge beat them twice in the last couple of years, game-winning shots. So I think if it does get to a point where it's a play that needs to be called for the Blazers, to win the game, I would think they would send a couple of defenders with LaMarcus Aldridge away and make other people beat them. But, with that being said, I expect it to be a great game. The Dallas Mavericks, there's no doubt about it. They're going to get better with time as Dirk Nowitzki, inserts himself into the system of things. And so I expect it to be a really good game, and it's a crucial game for both teams.
Do you think the Blazers will continue to, A, emphasize playing up-tempo, and, B, continue to double? Because Dallas doesn't really have a low-post player to double, but the Trailblazers have been bold in their doubling. I mean, they've been willing to double players off the block, and Dirk is a player that is not going to be on the block, per se, but if you're going to double somebody on Dallas, I think it would start with Dirk.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be much doubling in the Dallas game because, like you said, they don't have, many players that can, that can kill you on the offensive end on the block. Dirk Nowitzki, he's going to be from that elbow down, and it's hard to double-team somebody from the elbow spot or from the top of the two, top of the key, because they can see where you're coming from. So, no, not necessarily in the game today. But, I just think that with all that being said, I just think that the Mavericks are in a situation where after this break, going into the All-Star break, they're going to get a sense of where they are as a team, and that's exactly where the Blazers are at. After this five games remaining for this break, we'll get to see where this Blazer team is headed after the All-Star break. If the Blazers, lead this rest of this trip 4-1, I think they have a real legitimate shot of making a playoff run. If they burn this All-Star break, I think it's going to lead into a different direction of where this Blazers may go. As far as the second half of the season is concerned.
Yeah, we know that this is one of those critical trips for sure for the Trailblazers, leading right into the All-Star break. Chris, how's Dallas treating you? All right? The city
I'm
itself?
I'm all right. I just arrived a couple hours ago. I'm about to check out some eating spots around here, and I'm gonna have a ball. It's totally different weather. Coming from Minnesota, about 2 degrees, and now I'm here in a little bit of humidity. I could get my jacket off, take my sweater off, put some shorts on. So I'm living a dream right now, guys.
So you're staying in Minnesota? You didn't just take off walking down the street looking for a burger?
It's called delivery. In Minnesota.
Hey, you could just ask JJ. JJ, it sounded like on Twitter, he was all over Twitter talking about going to a place called Houston's, and I've been to a Houston's before, and that is some good eats. And he was raving about it on Twitter tonight.
Yeah, I saw that. I got me in my own spot, but yeah, I'm definitely getting out and getting some grub.
Blazers insider Chris Haynes joining us tonight on Trailblazers Courtside. All right, Chris, enjoy the rest of the trip. Let's come back with a winning record, and we'll catch you back here on the 19th when the Blazers take on the Suns.
Adam, you take care. Take care, Mr. Holton.
Always good talking to you, young fella.
All right, Chris Haynes joining us in Fresno State. Just remember the connection.
That's where he played?
He didn't play at Fresno State, but that's his connection.
That's what I'm saying. I knew he didn't play there. That's why you had me kind of, you know, twist it up there a little bit.
Fresno, but maybe
okay.
Not Fresno.
All right. Okay, well, good. I wasn't. Okay. I hadn't lost my mind. All right.
All right. Continuing on. We will come back. We will wrap up this edition of Trailblazers Courtside. We'll have some parting shots. Maybe we'll play some basketball. Dominated.
I'm going to dunk if they bring that hoop out tonight.
Ooh, something to look forward to. Trailblazers Courtside returns right after this timeout. Oh, you just want to go now, huh?
Buckets.
Dominating.
Buckets.
Oh, I missed, but a boom-shay will go
buckets.
Down.
Buckets. Boop. Buckets.
Oh, that was bad.
Buckets.
This
buckets. I'm shooting everything in the bucket tonight.
You won this
case one. Is closed.
You know what we do need? You know, up on our concourse during our home games up in the Trailblazers Live studio, we get an opportunity sometimes to mingle with the fans a lot of times.
Yes.
There was one game in particular a couple weeks ago that they made us shoot baskets. Albert Hensley, our fine producer, made us shoot baskets, and we didn't come anywhere close to the basket.
It wasn't one of our better moments.
No. And that was a KGW game, so everyone across the state got to see us miss bricks. Trailblazers basketball at its best. Grab your friends and family and go to a Bi-Mart value game. Tickets starting as low as $10. It's the best affordable entertainment in town. And by the way, the next Bi-Mart value game is Tuesday, February 19th. That's our next home game when we take on the Phoenix Suns. So call today, 503-797-9600, or head over to trailblazers.com. Those Bi-Mart value games are great. $10. You can't get into an NBA game for lower than...
Yeah, $10. That's good.
Lower than $30 usually. You can here. We like to fill it up, and we like to give people good deals. All right, Michael. This road trip, we had talked about it on Trailblazers' fifth quarter. We've talked about it on our Toyota Trailblazers tip-off. What would suffice? What would be a good road trip for the Trailblazers to get... I mean, we look at what this... Could be a very fruitful road trip if you look at our opponents. Houston's the only one that really scares me. I mean, Miami is Miami. We have dominated in Miami. I know I'm thinking big right now.
Yeah. Going in Miami and just kind of handing it to them is that would be big. But, you know, besides going 3-3 or 4-2, I want to see the Trailblazers continue to score 100.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's because Terry Stotts in the second Utah game asked the team to push the ball and kind of unleashed the play faster mantra, which surprised a lot of people because usually in a back-to-back situation, that's not when you turn the dial up. You start trying to manage energy. But the team has responded positively.
I think, 4-2 would be a great, great road trip for the Trailblazers if they could get it, and I think that they will. I think they will. Got to get the health of Nick Batum, Ronnie Price, all these guys that have been a little dinged up, Wesley Matthews even. And we'll talk about Wesley on the other side of the break, plus get you up to speed on some of the scores that are occurring on this Tuesday night here in the first week of February. Adam Bjornson, Michael Holton with you. This is Trailblazers Courtside presented by Pacific Power. Back with one final segment coming up after this. You dominated me in hoops tonight.
Yeah, you know, buckets.
Your favorite Trailblazer in the Kia Fan Favorite Sweepstakes, and you could win 10 lower level tickets to the April 7th Dallas game, a meet and greet with Blazers fan favorite, and more. To enter and for a list of official rules, visit any participating Metro Kia retailer or trailblazers.com, keyword Kia. Trailblazers crew list for this courtside on February 5th. TV producer Adam Willis, director Garrett Strudler. On video, it's Greg St. Martin. Graphics, Kim Anderson. Audio, Corey Griffin. Cameras, it is Buck and Curry. Engineer Bruce Williams, online coordinator Justin Moulter, and radio producer, as always, the captain. There he is.
Cap, the captain's cam. Oh, he's rocking. Look what he's rocking. Look what
he's
rocking.
Rocking.
It's the Michael Holton Basketball Academy camp shirt.
You think he knew that this morning?
That's right. That's right. I'm going to have to get him another one. Yeah. There you go. It's almost camp time. Registration's almost open.
checks in the mail. Wesley Matthews, we talked about him before we went to a break. The impact of him coming back last night. I mean, he is such a presence out there on the floor, isn't he?
Wesley Matthews, he's a shot maker. Mm-hmm. You know, and anybody that can make shots from a standstill and from behind the arc stretches the defense and everybody benefits.
He loves playing against the T-Wolves, too. Has averaged 28 a game in the first two meetings. Last night finished with 22. Up next is the Dallas Mavericks, though, tomorrow night. Thank you so much for watching and listening to Trailblazers Courtside. For Michael Holton, I'm Adam Bjarnson. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. The Blazers are in Big D. Good night, everyone.